All right, does anyone else remember jamming to this song as a kid, just longing for the school year to be over? Yeah, Alice Cooper made No School sound pretty damn cool. Well, we got no choice. But it turns out Coop got this whole school's out thing kind of wrong, because it kind of sucks for, like, everyone involved.
All New York City schools shutting down starting tomorrow.
Nearly 36 million American children are out of school right now.
And that poses a big problem, not only for many other factors, but for families who rely on free or discounted school meals.
While school districts are trying to figure out how to continue educating students, a lot of parents are just doing it themselves right now.
High school seniors are missing a lot of milestones this spring, including prom, but...
I'm Jeremy Siegel. This is Politico Dispatch, and today... the question on a lot of people's minds: when and how will schools reopen?
We started seeing schools closing about mid-March, and then it was just everyone shut down.
Breaking news just a short time ago, the governor of Illinois announcing all schools in Illinois starting Tuesday will be closed.
Metro Atlanta school districts are making that decision across the metro. Most school districts are planning to close starting Monday.
And I think what we learned from having such a sudden shutdown is just how much daily life and service revolves around them being open. My name is Nicole Gaudiano, and I cover K-12 education for Politico. At first, the main concern was ensuring that students were safe, that they had food. You know, how do schools get them food? For a lot of students that are on free and reduced lunch, this is a, you know, getting a meal at school is very important. And they were doing grab and go meals. And, you know, and then we started to learn about the difficulty of providing remote education. And it shined a light on the inequities that exist, that have long existed, when it comes to the digital divide.
Millions of students nationwide falling behind in what's being called a homework gap, meaning kids who don't have access to the internet and can't access virtual classrooms.
So you saw a lot of schools trying to get technology to students, and you have homeless students. You have children that being in school was the safest place for them. And then there were also issues with how do you provide remote education to students with disabilities? And there's research that's always talked about learning loss that happens over the summer, but now we're looking at many months where this is happening and trying to figure out how to go forward.
So this is difficult all around. I know a lot of people are counting down the days till schools can reopen again or reopen safely. At the same time, we are seeing a number of states allowing some businesses to reopen in one way or another. Are schools close to ready?
If you look at the White House guidelines, they say that schools should stay closed for a number of weeks until you start to see declines in COVID cases. There's new CDC guidance that says schools need to be prepared to protect children and staff that are at higher risk of illness, and they need to be ready to screen people for symptoms. But there is a nursing shortage, and who's going to do that? Teachers unions are raising questions about, you know, we need more people in the schools, not less, at a time when state and local budgets are going to be under constraints because, you know, less money coming in, less revenue. So these are some of the things that they are talking about, and there's a lot that's just under consideration right now.
This might be obvious, but what are the risks that come along with reopening schools too soon?
We just got a statement from the National Education Association president saying that, you know, any missteps could cost lives. You know, if schools open too quickly and you start to see the virus reemerge, then you might have students at home yet again. It could be going back and forth.
What about higher education, you know, colleges and universities?
Colleges are really between a rock and a hard place. I mean, they could be sued if they reopen the dorms and dining halls and there's a second wave of infections. But they're looking at financial concerns in the billions if they stay shut. And this is especially at small, historically Black colleges. So you have some large universities like Texas and Georgia and Purdue saying that they're going to reopen in the fall. But now there's been some reporting that several are thinking about opening for a fall semester in person and then switching to remote instruction during fall break if cases start to increase, like having that possibility.
Well, that kind of gets to the next thing I was curious about. I mean, when schools do open again, obviously things aren't just going to be back to normal. What does a safely reopened school look like in the coronavirus era?
Unlike anything in our experience, I was just chatting with some colleagues yesterday about some of the images we saw out of China where the children were wearing social distancing hats with sticks or tubes extending out from either side. It was very creative. They made these and they were using them to remind themselves of the distance that they needed to keep from fellow students. A safely reopened school, I mean, I think that this is under discussion, but you hear from, for instance, Governor Polis from Colorado talked about a hybrid environment where you have some students in school and then the others online. Some of the things that they're talking about that teachers believe should be required, obviously a decline in cases, adequate testing and tracing, protective equipment, but right now, I mean, what they have to figure out is, you know, should seats and desks be spread apart? Will they even have the space for social distancing? What about the playground? What about the cafeteria? How do you keep them apart? You know, do you maybe keep them in the classroom to eat meals? There's also a question about bus drivers. Do you run multiple routes? Well, that costs money. You know, this is a really difficult situation.
Nicole Gaudiano, thanks so much for talking with me.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Also today, the CDC has quietly published new detailed guidelines for reopening institutions that have been shut down during the coronavirus pandemic. It's by far the most extensive guidance from the health agency yet, with 60 pages worth of specific advice for childcare centers, restaurants, schools, businesses, and public transit. The CDC has spent weeks at the center of controversy over how far it should go in telling places how to reopen after the White House shelved an earlier version of the document over being too prescriptive. The new document includes detailed guidance for mass transit systems, calling for new visual markers to help with social distancing, and lays out a broad blueprint for the contact tracing and case monitoring that are essential to safely reopening. As of now, the vast majority of states have yet to meet much of the basic criteria the White House originally set out for reopening, including showing a 2-week decline in coronavirus cases and a significant boost in testing. And Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is challenging a federal judge's attempt to seek a second opinion on the Justice Department's decision to drop the prosecution of President Trump's former national security advisor, Michael Flynn. Earlier this month, Attorney General William Barr announced the department's plans to abandon the case. The move was highly unusual because Flynn had pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI about conversations he had with the Russian ambassador in 2017 before reversing course and saying he never lied. Flynn's lawyers hailed the decision, but last week, the judge presiding over the case, Emmett Sullivan, indicated that he would pursue perjury or contempt charges against Flynn and appointed a former federal judge to argue against the government's attempt to dismiss the case. In a floor speech on Tuesday, McConnell called the move shocking behavior and said it, quote, subverts our constitutional order in which the executive alone decides whether to prosecute cases. Flynn's lawyers also filed a petition on Tuesday asking the federal appeals court to shut down the prosecution against him and grant the Justice Department's motion to abandon the case. Subscribe to Politico Dispatch wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like the show, please leave us a rating and review. That'll help other people find the show. I'm Jeremy Siegel. Thanks for listening.